to exercise correctly, exercise spiritually, not just physically. Father, as we look through the scriptures, open our eyes, soften our hearts, and then give us a burden, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, I thank you and I praise you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's start in 1 Timothy. No, let's go to Psalms 131. Psalms 131. I've got way too many verses up here, so I'll just pick a couple. Psalms 131. Look what it says here. Psalms 131, verse number 1. Psalms 131, verse number 1. Just a little word study, I guess we could call it. The Bible says, Psalms 131, verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. You know, one of the problems that I have in my life is I exercise myself in things that are too high for me. I need to start paying attention to this. Right? I need to start paying attention to the level field. Because aren't we all level at the cross? Yeah. We are, aren't we? Now, if I'm saved, am I saved better than you're saved? No. Am I smarter than you are? No. Definitely not. Well, I'm not. I mean, I might know a verse or two. You might know a verse or two. Well, what does that have to do with anything? I'm just exercising myself in things that are too high for me. What is my knowledge if it's not of the Lord? It's just vanity, right? That's what it is. It's just vanity. Go to Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. Now listen, I know that there are ways in this, and there's actually businesses that you can go to where you will pay them to exercise. So you can go in there and have an exercise, right? They got clubs all over the United States. Some are strictly for women, some are strictly for men, some are for both. Exercise places, right? You go in there and lift weights, you go in there and jump, or you go in there and swim, or you do yoga, or whatever. And what are you getting out of it? Don't start, okay? Acts chapter 24, look at verse number... let's try verse number 16. And herein do I exercise myself. You know who's talking here, don't you? Or do you? It's Paul. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. You want to do an exercise? Try that one for a couple of days. That you could absolutely have a conscience that's void of offense against God and against man. That's a tough one. I mean, it's tough just to be against man, but even tougher, God. How many of us have offended God today? Or would be willing to even admit it? Whatever is not of faith is what? Does sin offend God? So we might have had some offense to God today, haven't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just talking a little bit about this thing called exercising. You know what? I'm supposed to exercise. How many people here have had a doctor tell them they're supposed to exercise? How many of us are exercising like the doctor said we should? Well, we were meant to, weren't we? I wanted to. I even did it for like a day. Well, some people don't even do it for a day. They say, well, yeah, I'll do that. And then that's the last they hear of that, right? Well, I got drafted into the Army, and you were required to exercise. You didn't have a choice. You start exercise real early in the morning. And you exercise before breakfast and before lunch and before dinner and any time in between. And then you would go on what is known as a lovely 5-mile much. And deep knee bends, jumping jacks, push-ups. I don't even know how many push-ups I did. When I was in the Army, if you had a button unbuttoned, which I constantly always did, you had to do 25 push-ups. You'd think after a while, hey, what is this, kid? Why don't you just button your buttons and you quit doing them push-ups? But I had no brain, so I just kept doing push-ups. But you know what I found out? Well, we'll get in that in just a minute. 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Is that what it says? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now watch this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You want to exercise? You need to exercise in the fact that you need to do what God wants you to do, in spite of how you feel. Hey, I come up with some great excuses today of why I wouldn't want to be pleasant with people. My back hurt. Anybody here ever have their back hurt? That's kind of a lousy excuse, isn't it? But that's the one I used. I used it most of the day. I need to exercise. I need to exercise godliness. That might help my back, right? I know it definitely helped my front. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now listen, what I'm going to try to do, and please help me if I start to get a little outrageous, just slow me down, would you? I'm trying not to get personal here. I mean, with the congregation, about the thing called exercising godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. If I exercise my godliness here, not only will it be profitable for me down here, but it'll be profitable for me up in heaven. If I do physical exercise, it'll only be profitable down here. Right? Because I'm going to get a new body. No matter how buffed up I get down here, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to have a new body. Or how unbuffed I get, whatever you want to call it. Look at 1 Timothy, I think it's verse number 6, or chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you believe that's true? Yeah. Godliness with contentment is great gain? So why aren't we exercising ourselves to godliness then if it's great gain? We're in a troubled time, aren't we, as far as finances go. You know what I heard someone say the other day? I can't believe how bad it is. And I thought to myself, well, it ain't bad for me. I'm going to heaven. Right? I just let God take care of it. Otherwise, I just wear myself sick. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Right after the book of Proverbs is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Exercising. You know what I know for sure? If you were absolutely positive that you would get something for exercising godliness, you'd do it. What you'd first thing you do is you'd find out how to exercise godliness. Most Christians have no idea. Purpose to be godly tomorrow? How am I going to do it? Anybody have a clue? I mean, if there was one thing you could do tomorrow, what would you do that, in your life, that would change, that would make you more godly? There's got to be at least one. Listen, don't look for me for the answer, because I don't know what you need to do. You are the only one that knows. But what you need to do is you need to sit down, you need to figure it out, okay? What could I do tomorrow that would show God I'm more godly? What does God expect from Christians? How can we be godly? How can we be like God? How can we be more like Jesus? That would be godly, wouldn't it? How could we be more spiritual and less carnal? How could we do that? That'd be godly, wouldn't it? See, it's an individual thing. I could tell you how I could try to do it, but you might not even worry about that, something like that. That might not even be a concern of yours. Might not even be a fault. I mean, I don't know. Could we watch what we say? Could we hope that our words were like apples of gold and pictures of silver? Our words were pleasant words? How about our thoughts? Could maybe our thoughts change a little bit? We could be godly with our thoughts? How about our actions? Because we're going to be judged by our thoughts, our actions, and our words, right? Those are three things for sure we're going to be judged about. And if they were godly, would there be much of a judgment there? No, there'd probably be a reward, wouldn't there? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. Is that what your Bible says? So does God want to exercise you? What would you rather do? Exercise yourself or let God exercise you? Well, there's a verse here that says sore travail. And it looks like that's what God's good exercises with. Right? Anybody here, don't raise your hands, just consider this. Anybody here been having like a little extra tribulation in their life the last couple months? I mean, it's, you know, it's just a little bit more than normal. And have you wondered about it? Have you made maybe an itinerary of what you did? Maybe kind of looked to make, well, here's what I did, and here's what's happening, and here's what I didn't do, and here's what's happening. There might be a direct correlation to that. Being godly and getting blessed, being ungodly and not getting blessed. I mean, it's just possible, right? You're going to make me hold my sign up, aren't you? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. We're going to see the same thing we saw in chapter 1, but look what he says here. Kind of puts it in the same way, just a little different. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And he has. We're talking about Solomon here. He was even probably part of it. It's amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? The wisest man that ever lived, according to the scriptures, and turned his back completely on God. That don't sound real wise, does it? You know what I think? I think he didn't pay attention to what he was writing. He exercised himself, but he didn't exercise himself to godliness. He exercised himself in ungodliness. We've got to be real careful, brothers and sisters of Christ, because you know what? You have, as a Christian, you have not an opportunity, but you have there's going to come times when you are definitely going to have a choice. You can be godly or you can be not godly. You can exercise godliness and know to do right and do right, or just go ahead and continue on the way that you have been following when you got to that point. Sometimes what God does is he puts, they're not stop signs, but they're like yield signs in the road. And he wants us to slow down and yield instead of running out there like we do on the freeway and making the other cars move to the side. When we're supposed to, we're the ones that are supposed to yield, right? Doesn't the yield sign go for the people that are on the on-ramp instead of those on the freeway? And why do the people on the freeway then slow down for the people on the on-ramp? And why are we, that's a pet peeve of mine, so I better get away from that. Galatians chapter 5. You know what? I get crazy sometimes driving that motorhome because I cannot stop on a dime. I can't even stop on a dollar. It takes a long time to stop 25,000 pounds. And I get frustrated because I got to stop. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 26. You want some godly exercise? Try this one. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There was a time when I sat in this church, second pew, and I thought to myself, well, I could do better than that. And I never offered to do better than that. I just sat there and said I could. Well, no one heard me but the Lord. Right? That's vainglory is what that is. That's vainglory. Like they say, don't talk about someone until you walk a mile in their moccasins or whatever you say. Let's go to, let's try Hebrews chapter 12 since you like this so much. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to work my way into doing this eventually. And the Lord keeps dealing with me about it. I'm going to make up a little Christian report card. You know, just a little thing like this, but about twice that big, and just folds. And Christian report card will be on the front, and then you open it up, and then it has five or six things, and then you're graded on how you did on those five or six things. What would be five or six things all Christians should do? Well, one, right? One would be attend church. Right? Everybody would agree with that? Okay. Number two would probably be read the Bible. Right? Pray. That sounds good, right? Tithes and offerings. We better keep those two together. People get real strained when you start talking about money. Tithes and offerings. Okay, so we got how many? We got four so far? Okay, what about... being a good testimony, or testimony, we'll just put the word testimony. That could be included witness, the way that you act around others, the way that you react with others, the way you walk, the way you, you know what I'm saying? Like that. And what else would we have? There's got to be something else we could have. How about fellowship? Kind of like citizenship, right? I was in school. I always got a U. Well, I did. I mean, I got A's and everything else, but in citizenship, I always got a U, which means unsatisfactory because they couldn't give you A, B, C, D, F. It was S or U, and I never got an S ever, all through grade school. Never. I spent some time in the hall too. And I spent some time with my nose on the board in a little circle. It was a rough school, rough. But and I'm not trying to glorify this, I'm just saying that's the way I was. And you know, the problem was when I got into junior high and high school and college, that carried over and I missed out on some things I shouldn't have missed out on. Because for me anyway, grade school was easy. And then junior high was a little bit more difficult, and high school was a little more difficult, and college was a little more difficult, and I didn't want it to be difficult, so I never tried. Grade school, I didn't have to try. I thought everything was easy. I mean, what do they ask you, right? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Well, I mean, don't they have, isn't that a television show, right? You know what, when I was in fourth grade, they never asked those questions. I didn't have to know geography. Anyway, what does that have to do with anything? Nothing, I just thought I'd mention it. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 11. The Bible says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You want one of the ways that God's going to exercise you? One of the ways you're going to have godly exercise is God's going to chasten you. You know, if Christians want to have godly exercise, you know what they should do? Lord, chasten me. When I am doing something that doesn't please you, Lord, chasten me. I don't want to get away with it. I don't want to get away with it for a second. That should be our desire. That should be our prayer for the Lord so we can be godly. Doesn't God want us to be godly? Doesn't he? Does he want us to be like his son whom he is well pleased? And what did it just say here? That we're going to be exercised, right? God's going to exercise us by chastening us. I need to be exercised more. You know, if I got chastened more for when I was doing things wrong, pretty soon I'd quit doing them. Right? It's like when I was younger, the first couple of times my dad had to take me into the room and show me the business end of, well, anyway. I had to get chastened by my dad the first couple of times. I mean, all of a sudden I got, well, I got to stop doing that because that hurts. Right? I mean, I didn't have to get spanked four or five times before it finally dawned on me that, you know, two was plenty for me. Now, I know that's different for everybody, and I understand that. A lot of it has to do with stubbornness. But if you don't get the will out, it'll take over. Right? If anybody's ever had a willful child, they know exactly what I'm talking about. And you might spend all day, you might spend all 2 days, but you've got to make absolutely sure, this is just my opinion now, that the will is not against you. Because if it's going to be against you, it will definitely be against God. Parents had the, you know, an opportunity to teach their children love anyway. Where are we going to go next? Hebrews chapter... Did we go to Hebrews 5? We didn't? Well, let's go there now then. Hebrews chapter 5. Godly exercise. You know what godly exercise will do? It'll help you. It'll help you to grow as a Christian. You know why some Christians don't grow? They don't exercise. They don't become strong in the faith. They don't exercise. They don't become hardened to sin. I'm talking about doing sin because they don't exercise. If I got to the point in my life where sin absolutely shocked me and was just something that was just totally foreign to me, I wouldn't do it. But I've got comfortable in it. Now, I'm not saying it's a wicked sin, because only the sins that you do are wicked. Mine are just little tiny ones. Well, that's how it is, isn't it? But according to God, all sin is an abomination. What sin will keep you out of heaven? any of them. Right? You only have to sin once. That's kind of scary when you think about it. And I've actually had people tell me, well, if God would save someone who sinned all their life and then repent of it, I don't want nothing to do with God. Well, then you're a fool. Because that's exactly what God will do. I mean, if you are just a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner all of your life, and you decide one day that you're tired of it, and you say, God, I'm sorry, and I'm going to try my best never do it again, I want to be saved, God will save you right there on the spot. And praise God for that, right? Well, we can't be comfortable in our sin, because God's not comfortable in our sin. And if we're going to start exercising godliness, what we need to start doing is we need to start taking an inventory, our own little quote-unquote report card. Okay, God, have I been godly today? Did I start out godly? That'd probably be a good way to start, wouldn't it? Start out godly. What's the best way to start out godly? Well, pray before you hit the floor. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? First thing in the morning, read the Bible. Even if it's just a chapter. One psalm. I don't know, just to get your mind focused on something about God. The world is going to get you. It's real hard for you not to get entrapped by the world, because it is like all around. It doesn't matter where you go. There it is. It sneaks in the churches. Sometimes we bring it in. We bring in our frustrations. We bring in our anger. And we're supposed to leave it outside the door. We're coming into the house of God. This is the temple of the Lord. Right? It's supposed to be set apart. It's supposed to be sanctified. They call it a sanctuary. How many of us came in here today was thinking about something that wasn't godly? I have to raise my hand. How about you? So what do I expect from God? Well, if I didn't ask God to be with me when I come in here, I mean, I know He will anyway, but wouldn't it be much better if I come in here on His terms instead of coming in here on mine? It's real easy to exercise godliness. You just have to want to be godly. Now listen, you might struggle, and I know if you're like me, you know what you're going to do? You're going to struggle. But praise God. He'll help you every time you don't do it. He'll help you to get started again. I love God for that. I have disappointed Him so many times, and He still says, come on, you can do it. I'm just so tired, I know, but come on, you can. Right? If I'm going to walk the walk, I need to walk where the person that wants me to walk is going. Come on. You know, like when you teach your kids to walk? Come on. You don't turn your back and go, come on. Right? That's what the Lord does. Come on, I know you can do it. Come on. You fall and come to him and pick you up. That's okay. You try. It'll be better next time. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know how I'm going to get that? Right here. I tried to explain it. Maybe I'll try it again. And listen, if I can't convince you, maybe the Holy Spirit can. Well, I probably can anyway. I know the Holy Spirit's got to do it. But 5 psalms a day, you'll get closer to God. And I know this, if you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. If you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And the least he's around, the better chance you have to be godly. Heads bowed, eyes closed. What about it, Christian? Do you want to be godly? I'm going to read something to you. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm just going to read something to you, and I'll tell you where it's at. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to start in verse number 5. Second Peter, heads bowed, eyes closed. Second Peter, verse 1, chapter 5, or chapter 1, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. We have an opportunity, if we're willing to be diligent, if we're willing to give God a chance, we have an opportunity to be more godly tomorrow than we were today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I can't speak for anybody in this room but me. I would want to be, Lord. I do want to be more godly tomorrow than I was today. Lord, would you help me? Whatever it takes, Lord, if you have to chastise me, so be it. If it's going to take comfort, so be it. Whatever it is, Lord, I want to be more godly tomorrow. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the verses that you've showed us. I ask you now, Lord, that you help us to hide them in our hearts. Help us to be part of our lives. Help us, Lord, to remember these verses. Father, I thank you and I praise you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
The problem with a lot of Christians, they start out, they want to be real spiritual tomorrow. But you don't build up a lot of strength overnight. It takes a while. It takes some daily, consistent. What you have to face today and handling it in a godly manner. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. Will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, God's not going to put too much weight on the bar for you. He's not going to make it hard for you to exercise godliness. But he is going to test a little bit. He's going to put you to the limits of what you can do.
To exercise correctly, exercise spiritually, not just physically. Father, as we look through the scriptures, open our eyes, soften our hearts, and then give us a burden, Lord, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, I thank you and I praise you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Let's start in 1 Timothy. No, let's go to Psalms 131. Psalms 131. Got way too many verses up here, so I'll just pick a couple. Psalms 131. Look what it says here. Psalms 131, verse number 1. Psalms 131, verse number 1. Just a little word study, I guess we could call it. The Bible says, Psalms 131, verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. You know, one of the problems that I have in my life is I exercise myself in things that are too high for me. I need to start paying attention to this. Right? I need to start paying attention to the level field. Because aren't we all level at the cross?
Yeah.
We are, aren't we? Now, if I'm saved, am I saved better than you're saved?
Yep.
Am I smarter than you are?
No.
Definitely not. Well, I'm not. I mean, I might know a verse or two. You might know a verse or two. But what does that have to do with anything? I'm just exercising myself in things that are too high for me. What is my knowledge if it's not of the Lord? It's just vanity, right? That's what it is. It's just vanity. Go to Acts 24. Acts chapter 24. Now listen, I know that there are ways in this, and there's actually businesses that you can go to where you will pay them to exercise. So you can go in there and have an exercise, right? They got clubs all over the United States. Some are strictly for women, some are strictly for men, some are for both. Exercise places, right? You go in there and lift weights, you go in there and jump, or you go in there and swim, or you do yoga, or whatever. And what are you getting out of it? Don't start, okay? Acts chapter 24, look at verse number... let's try verse number 16. And herein do I exercise myself. You know who's talking here, don't you? Or do you? It's Paul. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. You want to do an exercise? Try that one for a couple of days. That you could absolutely have a conscience that's void of offense against God and against man. That's a tough one. I mean, it's tough just to be against man, but even tougher, God. How many of us have offended God today? Or would be willing to even admit it? Whatever is not a faith is what? Does sin offend God? So we might have had some offense to God today, haven't we? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're just talking a little bit about this thing called exercising. You know what? I'm supposed to exercise. How many people here have had a doctor tell them they're supposed to exercise? How many of us are exercising like the doctor said we should? Well, we were meant to, weren't we? I wanted to. I even did it for like a day. Well, some people don't even do it for a day. They say, well, yeah, I'll do that. And then that's the last they hear of that, right? When I went, I got drafted into the Army, and you were required to exercise. You didn't have a choice. You start exercise real early in the morning. And you exercise before breakfast and before lunch and before dinner and any time in between. And then you would go on what is known as a lovely 5-mile march. And deep knee bends, jumping jacks, push-ups. I don't even know how many push-ups I did. When I was in the Army, if you had a button unbuttoned, which I constantly always did, you had to do 25 push-ups. You'd think after a while, hey, what is this, kid? Why don't you just button your buttons and you quit doing them push-ups? But I had no brain, so I just kept doing push-ups. But you know what I found out? Well, we'll get in that in just a minute. 2 Corinthians 12, look at verse 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Is that what it says? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now watch this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You want to exercise? You need to exercise in the fact that you need to do what God wants you to do. in spite of how you feel. Hey, I come up with some great excuses today of why I wouldn't want to be pleasant with people. My back hurt. Anybody here ever had their back hurt? That's kind of a lousy excuse, isn't it? But that's the one I used, and I used it most of the day. I need exercise. I need to exercise godliness. That might help my back, right? I know it'll definitely help my front. All right, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now listen, what I'm going to try to do, and please help me if I start to get a little outrageous, just slow me down, would you? I'm trying not to get personal here. I mean, with the congregation, about the thing called exercising godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verses 7 and 8. The Bible says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." If I exercise my godliness here, not only will it be profitable for me down here, but it'll be profitable for me up in heaven. If I do physical exercise, it'll only be profitable down here. Right? Because I'm going to get a new body. No matter how buffed up I get down here, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to have a new body. Or how unbuffed I get, whatever you want to call it. Look at 1 Timothy, I think it's verse number 6, or chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Do you believe that's true?
Yes.
Godliness with contentment is great gain? So why aren't we exercising ourselves to godliness then if it's great gain? We're in a troubled time, aren't we, as far as finances go. You know what I heard someone say the other day? "I can't believe how bad it is." And I thought to myself, well, it ain't bad for me. I'm going to heaven. Right? I just let God take care of it. Otherwise, I just wear myself sick. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Right after the book of Proverbs is Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Exercising. You know what I know for sure? If you were absolutely positive that you would get something for exercising godliness, you'd do it. What you'd first thing you do is you'd find out how to exercise godliness. Most Christians have no idea. How am I going to try to be godly tomorrow? How am I going to do it? Anybody have a clue? I mean, if there was one thing you could do tomorrow, what would you do in your life that would change, that would make you more godly? There's got to be at least one. Listen, don't look for me for the answer, because I don't know what you need to do. You are the only one that knows. But what you need to do is you need to sit down, you need to figure it out, okay? What could I do tomorrow that would show God I'm more godly? What does God expect from Christians? How can we be godly? How can we be like God? How can we be more like Jesus? That would be godly, wouldn't it? How could we be more spiritual and less carnal? How could we do that? That'd be godly, wouldn't it? See, it's an individual thing. I can't tell you. I could tell you how I could try to do it, but you might not even worry about that, something like that. That might not even be a concern of yours. Might not even be a fault. I mean, I don't know. Could we watch what we say? Could we hope that our words were like apples of gold and pictures of silver? Our words were pleasant words? How about our thoughts? Could maybe our thoughts change a little bit? We can be godly with our thoughts. How about our actions? Because we're going to be judged by our thoughts, our actions, and our words, right? Those are three things for sure we're going to be judged about. And if they were godly, would there be much of a judgment there? No, there'd probably be a reward, wouldn't there? Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verse 13. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. Is that what your Bible says? So does God want to exercise you? What would you rather do? Exercise yourself or let God exercise you? Well, there's a verse here that says sore travail. And it looks like that's what God's good exercises with. Right? Anybody here, don't raise your hands, just consider this. Anybody here been having like a little extra tribulation in their life the last couple months? I mean, it's just a little bit more than normal. And have you wondered about it? Have you made an itinerary of what you did? Maybe kind of looked to make, well, here's what I did, and here's what's happening, and here's what I didn't do, and here's what's happening. There might be a direct correlation to that. Being godly and getting blessed, being ungodly and not getting blessed. I mean, it's just possible, right? You're going to make me hold my sign up, aren't you? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Look at verse number 10. We're going to see the same thing we saw in chapter 1, but look what he says here. It kind of puts it in the same way, just a little different. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 10, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And he has. We're talking about Solomon here. He was even probably part of it. It's amazing, isn't it, when you think about it? The wisest man that ever lived, according to the scriptures, and turned his back completely on God. That don't sound real wise, does it? You know what I think? I think he didn't pay attention to what he was writing. He exercised himself, but he didn't exercise himself to godliness. He exercised himself in ungodliness. We've got to be real careful, brothers and sisters of Christ, because you know what? You have, as a Christian, you have not an opportunity, but you have it's like there's going to come times when you are definitely going to have a choice. You can be godly or you can be not godly. You can exercise godliness and know to do right and do right, or just go ahead and continue on the way that you have been following when you got to that point. Sometimes what God does is he puts, they're not stop signs, but they're like yield signs in the road. And he wants us to slow down and yield, instead of running out there like we do on the freeway and making the other cars move to the side. When we're the ones that are supposed to yield. Right? Doesn't the yield sign go for the people that are on the on-ramp instead of those on the freeway? And why do the people on the freeway then slow down for the people on the on-ramp? And, well, that's a pet peeve of mine, so I better get away from that. Galatians chapter 5. You know what? I get crazy sometimes driving that motorhome because I cannot stop on a dime. I can't even stop on a dollar.